Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Some 65 million U.S. citizens of Latino descent appear ready to be interactive with their TV time. Just one revelation from Altman Salon's latest Hispanic market study. Altman Salon director Daniel Weinbaum joins me next. On Just for Kicks, sneaker culture and hip-hop collide. It's Crackle's latest lifetime undertaking that's launching today. Co-host and producer Don Benjamin sneaks in, or sneakers in, you might say, later this hour. Also at this HOP, AHOP, Pan American Games Go Smart TV, Next Gen Television gets a showcase here in New York in a little bit, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. A beautiful day here in the Big Apple on this Thursday afternoon, 63 degrees top of the hour. It's been 60s all week long. It looks like it will continue at least one more day. Wherever you are across the country, around the world, we welcome you to this latest edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Got a wonderful duo of guests coming away over the next hour. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and when you do, this is the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And you can also use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen, and other people can be live and interact with you. And Daniel Weinbaum will interact with us from New York after these news notes. For the first time ever, smart TV products will be the major avenue for watching the Pan American Games, held the year before the Summer Olympics. More than 2,000 hours of live Pan Am sports competition will begin playing tomorrow over Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and TV sets deploying the Android TV operating system. 3N Media, based in Miami, will distribute the coverage via 9 English language and 9 Spanish language channels. Pan American Games 2023 will take place through November 5th in and around Santiago, Chile. Wherefore art thou, Next Gen Television? Officials from Pearl TV, the consortium of broadcast station owners, rolling out smart TV sets incorporating the Next Gen technical standard, also known as ATSC 3.0, claim 10,000 sets. That's 10,000 sets are now sold daily, and 10 million will be operating in U.S. households for the end of 2023. Pearl TV will begin the holiday season national promotion later this afternoon at Pepcom's latest tech showcase here in New York. Smart sets from Samsung and Hisense will be displayed. And now quickies, National Geographic's latest Genius miniseries profiling Martin Luther King and Malcolm X in docudrama form will debut February 1st. Disney Plus and Hulu will run the 8-episode saga the following day. Popular Netflix scripted attraction Sweet Magnolias will return for a 4th season. Love Island Games will get off Peacock's starting line November 1st in prime time. Gen 5, or Gen V, the Boys spinoff series set to return on Prime Video for season 2. MTV's annual Europe Music Awards will be a no-go next month due to an abundance of caution over the current Israel-Hamas conflict. Organizers expect to bring the event back in 2024. Vizio's smart TV sets are now running the National Football League subscription video service, NFL Plus, along with the NFL app. And Stand Up and Shout, Songs from a Philly High School, comes to HBO and Max November 7th. John Legend's guest-listed media venture co-produced this special. And that is news notes for today. Now joining me here in New York to talk about his organization's latest Hispanic TV study is a director at Altman Salon, Daniel Weinbaum. Daniel, welcome in.
Thanks so much, Simon. Great to be here.
And great to have you with us. Daniel, before we get to the results of that study, what is your organization all about?
Sure. So Altman Salon is a global consultancy that is exclusively focused on media, telecom, and tech strategy and investment. On the media side, we do work across the Americas, Europe, APAC, and I personally have been in this space for over 15 years, working with global video distributors and investors around everything from ad product innovation to audience monetization strategies. And a large part of my career is focused on Hispanic and Latin American markets, prior to consulting, I spent several years working with private sector investment in Latin America, as well as with a Mexican media conglomerate. So just a little bit about myself and the firm.
Mm-hmm. So what is this new study that came out a number of weeks ago suggest about the growing television habits of Latino viewers?
Yeah, so let me just give you a little bit of background on the study, a little bit of the genesis. So, you know, as someone who reads a lot of market studies about Hispanic media consumers, you know, I had started to notice this dearth of research around some of the lesser explored sentiments of Hispanic audiences in the U.S., specifically how country origin, generational differences, language use at home, how they can influence consumer interests and behaviors from a media consumption perspective. And also, you know, how do Hispanics feel about the bigger opportunities that are out there in terms of becoming more engaged and more activated in terms of what we're calling total TV or linear plus streaming, as well as all of those different media consumption-focused technologies that video distributors need to consider investing in. So, you know, thinking about what I wasn't seeing out there in terms of research that, you know, a lot of our clients are very much affected by, you know, we decided to do this study, and I was thrilled when our firm, you know, agreed to kind of fund the study and for us to look at these areas and what they would mean to a lot of our clients who are video distributors all over the world, but particularly for the ones who are in the U.S. and are focused on Hispanic audiences, what does it mean to them from a revenue opportunity perspective? Because at the end of the day, Simon, we're talking about an incredibly powerful consumer segment here when we're talking about Hispanic audiences, and it's one of the highest growth ones as well. I'd say some of the most exciting findings, or I think interesting findings that we looked at, were that Hispanic consumers are generally more interested in new video experiences than Gen Pop. So we're talking about shoppable TV here, the use of AR, VR as part of media consumption, and then second screen experiences. So there's this huge focus on early experiential adopters. And we also found that Hispanics typically subscribe to more streaming services than Gen Pop, and we're talking about 25% more, according to our study, which is very significant. And that's really also kind of showcasing some preference for Disney Plus, Max, ESPN, and ViX as well. So, you know, we thought that this was interesting from a content perspective, and we saw that 80% of Hispanic respondents with children have at least one streaming service, whereas it was a little bit less, I think 65% for those without children. And Simon, I'd say one other message that we heard really clearly from the results of our study is that there's a lot of content out there that's focused on Hispanic audiences, but it's not necessarily meeting the more nuanced needs that audiences have. For example, 60% of our respondents expressed that they would retain their paid content subscriptions only if they had access to greater sports options and classic content and movies. We also noticed significant gaps between Hispanics and Gen Pop respondents in terms of reality shows, educational content, and live musical shows. And I'd say that in some ways, fast TV, you know, fast channels are really kind of changing the way that Hispanic audiences are able to consume some of the type of content that they're not necessarily seeing from the bigger distributors. But this was definitely an interesting finding that we saw on our side.
Well, it's no surprise that Latinos, along with other communities of color, African Americans, Asian Americans, and so forth, have been responsible in a major way for the incredible adoption of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. As we have said a number of times, we're now at a point where 90% of all U.S. households have these devices and products and services. And that's why we're seeing the mega content services pop. We're seeing all these new ad-supported services, multi-channel bundles, and so forth. It's fair to say that that the embracing of these products by Latinos, other communities of color, is responsible for what you just said, that there is more interest by Latinos in services available on mega content service like that, product programming on Netflix, on ViX, which is a mega content service in Televisa Univision, one of the major broadcast network, cable network makers. as well as the opportunity now with things like interactive television and shopping and ordering products and services, that this is going to be a lead group in making that environment happen.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, smart TV is really a gateway to everything that we're talking about, from kind of a, you know, a big player streaming perspective to fast channels, which are emerging. I mean, you can have Hispanic audiences in the U.S. that are connected with fairly national or regional level fast channels that are basically kind of localizing an experience for them in terms of local news, sports, content, and it's happening at a national level, and it's not necessarily based on different types of regional bundle packages that you see. So there's definitely expanded access, and then we were excited to see from our survey what we thought was very relevant in terms of some of the different experiences that Hispanic respondents were interested in, particularly ones that are interesting revenue generation opportunities for a lot of players out there. You know, when you think about shoppable TV and some of the different interactive content capabilities, and next gen TV absolutely you know has a relevance there too.
Daniel Weinbaum is our guest in our first half hour on Smart Beach Televised. He's one of the directors of Altman Solon, which recently came out with their annual Hispanic TV study. That's what we're talking about. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our super fan, Rick Webb from Philadelphia, already in the room. We have a 90-minute episode coming your way tomorrow and on Monday. Coming your way tomorrow, did you know that Dude Perfect, a very popular YouTube attraction, they have their own television network now? Well, they do. And we will not only have the person that made the deal together, the president of A Parent Media Company, Neil Gruninger, but we'll also have an exclusive live interview by one of the members of Dude Perfect, Chad Coleman. They will both be with us live in our opening half hour. And then, how are those mega content services doing, like Netflix and Max and Peacock and VIX? We will talk to WIT Media Senior Director, Jeremy Benhame. That's all coming your way on Friday, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific here on Tomorrow Tell Us. Also, I'll have a takeaway of the week on what we learned and didn't learn at Advertising Week New York, which is winding down as we speak over in Midtown Manhattan. When it comes to programming, in the last few years, we have seen a group of companies do services on smart TV sets and smart devices, Canela Media, Estrella TV, Nuestra TV, you mentioned VIX. What does the survey say about the acceptance of these services?
Well, we saw actually that you know, there is there, as I mentioned, there's a high preference for Disney Plus, for Max, for ESPN, for VIX, and certainly you know, top of the charts for, you know, for the Hispanic respondents on our survey were both Netflix as well as Amazon Prime, just in terms of platforms for media consumption. But we also did see that, you know, some of the newer entrants that you mentioned are also gaining relevance. But we particularly looked at paid you know, SVOD subscription services is really where we spent a lot of time. When we tested around free to air, free-to-air TV in terms of its relevance, and just trying to get a sense from the respondents in terms of what their sentiment around free-to-air was, we actually saw that that FTA wound up being a little bit, surprisingly so for us, a little bit less significant in terms of the responses. So we attributed that to a prevalence of digital subscriptions within the Hispanic population, you know, which you know, I mentioned was even higher than Gen Pop, and then just lower self-reported FTA consumption. And when we, you know, we went out, we spoke with other experts in this space, and I think really the consensus was that FTA is very much based on language and cultural relatability for a lot of Hispanic audiences. And so we're talking about news, weather, and sports all occurring at local levels. And local content is still absolutely relevant, but it's also evolving in terms of where it's being consumed and the channels where people are watching it. So, you know, I think that that was an interesting finding that we saw. And I kind of lay that onto your question where you're asking about the different platforms that people are using, some of the ones that are new entrants that are not necessarily, you know, that are more AVOD instead of SVOD. And I bring FT into the mix because I think there's been this sentiment that FTA is that Hispanics over-index on FTA, and you know while that may still have a lot of relevance as a consideration, there is still it looks like this evolution for what FTA means to Hispanics. And just one other thought there. So you know when we think about what local means. It's also changing in terms of migration. So, you know, people want to stay in touch with where they're from as well as where they are now. And I think as we were talking about earlier today, Simon, FAST channels are very much changing how people do this. There's been an explosion of national country level, country of origin channels in the FAST space. So it's just connecting people with a lot of different options there that are not necessarily domestic either.
And one of those latest ad support or FAST channel options, we talked about it, it was our lead nose note, is the fact that Pan American Games, which until this year, in fact, starting tomorrow, was something that might be on a broadcast network on a weekend situation. Or it might be maybe in prime time and not all the time in terms of the sports events, that for the first time, every Pan American Games event starting tomorrow through early November is going to be carried on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Roku, which has started to make a name for itself in terms of original Spanish language lifestyle content. They've done a number of original series in Spanish or adapting some of their shows in Spanish originally. In the life in the name of home renovation, home redecorating, sort of HGTV, Food Network type content, and apparently they're getting a good enough audience that they've renewed one show and looking at doing more.
Very interesting. Yes, and you know, as I was mentioning earlier, there's definitely a sentiment from our survey that the Hispanic audiences that we were surveying, there's significant room for further diversity in sport content as well. So you're talking about access, and you're talking about kind of the where and when and how different sports content is kind of evolving in terms of how it's made available. But it was also interesting to kind of see that basketball and soccer, you know, huge top sport interest for Hispanics, and just I think in a lot of the research that we did, there was a broader set of sport categories and different kind of subgenres of sports where respondents were just not seeing the type of content that they want, I think what we were mentioning earlier, there are all of these different types of kind of content subgenres, if you will, that are not necessarily either easily identified and discovered or discoverable by Hispanic audiences, or they're not carried with certain kind of nuances or regional variations. And there's content that's missing that's out there that Hispanic audiences are absolutely saying that they would pay more to be able to access, and they would keep their content subscriptions, their paid content subscriptions, you know, if they had access to it. So there's room to grow, and I think some of the big considerations for video distributors that we saw in our study are that, you know, when it comes to, I guess I would break it down by both, you know, audience acquisition versus audience activation and retention. And I think when you're talking about audience activation, I think we saw a lot of opportunity for distributors in the U.S. that are trying to reach Hispanic audiences to further diversify their content portfolio so that they're really truly offering a diversity that's representative of different Hispanic segment dynamics, tapping into those under-offered content categories. And our firm has done a lot of work here in terms of advising clients on what those categories are and also how to bundle them. So coming up with different innovative styles of bundling that are focused on Hispanic content needs, and also using FAST as a vehicle for new acquisitions. So there's a lot of space out there from a Hispanic audience acquisition perspective. And then Simon, I'd say on the activation and retention side, you know, once you acquire those audiences, getting engagement from them and also retaining them so they don't churn. I think what we found interesting was that we looked at the willingness to pay for emerging media experiences among Hispanics and found that Hispanics generally have a higher willingness to pay for different types of emerging media experiences. And this trend is very much keeping with the general sense that Hispanics are early tech adopters, and that's partially driven by younger demographics, you know, a larger, younger base. We also saw that shoppable TV had a much higher interest among Hispanics, over double digits, compared to Gen Pop. And the main barriers that we saw in terms of Hispanics adopting shoppable TV were really around potential discomfort with different payment options, or just really an education around the whole kind of privacy, PII and the privacy of information that play a role there. And we did see, though, that Hispanic respondents were overwhelmingly expressing a need to see brands that reflect Hispanic heritage to start adopting shoppable TV, which makes sense, right? You want to see yourself reflected in the types of products that you're interested in consuming via the channel where you consume them. We also went down an interesting path, which was diving deeper into the different types of segments that exist amongst Hispanic audiences and media consumers. And we used our proprietary Smart Segments algorithm to look at the data, and we came up with four different segments, one of which was tech enthusiasts. And we found that tech enthusiasts were most open to emerging media experiences, with a strong preference for AR/VR, a strong preference for interactive content and personalized stories. And then, you know, there's also kind of married to that a higher willingness for them to pay for those experiences. So again, I think when we speak with a lot of industry experts and a lot of not just the voice of the customer, but you know, also the side of the distributors, we think that it's extremely important to remember that the growth that we're seeing here is actionable growth. There are big considerations here for video distributors to really change the relationship that they have with Hispanic audiences, in part by using research to fuel some of the decisions that they're making around how they bundle, what type of diversity they offer in terms of their content portfolios, and how they're going to market, and how they're actually using different insights to activate and retain their Hispanic audiences.
Yeah. So lots of opportunities. In our remaining minutes with Daniel White, I'm sorry, Daniel, I think we interrupted you a little bit.
No, I was just saying there's lots of opportunity here.
Got it. If you have a question in our remaining minutes with Altman Solon, Director Daniel Wyman, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple, 04 minute. We have another big 90-minute show coming away on Monday. We're kicking it off with perhaps the master of historical scripted sagas like The Borgias and The Tudors on Showtime, Vikings on the History Channel, Vikings Valhalla on Netflix, and now the second season of Billy the Kid on MGM+. The one and only Michael Hirst will join us live in an interview exclusive from England. That's our opening half hour on Monday. Then we have a brand new network to tell you about called Sabio TV. It's another way that YouTube creators get more involved in producing television. The chief executive of that new service, Aziz Rahmatullah, will be with us. And finally, from the new Peacock series, John Carpenter, Suburban Screens, Executive Producer Director Jordan Roberts, all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tamarbi Televised. So I would make this the final question because we're running short of time, Daniel. Given the fact that we're now at critical mass in terms of smart TV sets and devices that give people the opportunity to do all sorts of interactive things with their voice, with voice remotes, with body language, and so on, because the artificial intelligence inside the box, the product, that allows an audio feature like Siri or Google Assistant to be used. When you talk about your study and you bring up interactivity, what do the advertisers think about this? Do they want to encourage Latinos to use these interactive services to benefit their product? And where do you see it all going?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I look at shoppable TV as a very kind of tangible and attribution-focused example of that type of interaction. There are lots of different examples, but I think it's an interesting one because you see it playing out on major distributors in the U.S., and you see NBCU and Telemundo adopting shoppable TV into their into their content experiences, and you see other players here that are starting to do that. And I think that there's absolutely I think we talked about this at the Hispanic TV Summit panel that I moderated. There's absolutely more education that's needed for media buyers, so marketers and agencies, to understand exactly how their investment in some of these experiences that you're talking about, like shoppable TV and like these perhaps more innovative and perhaps non-traditional media investments, how it's not necessarily just innovation funds. It's not just kind of experimental. These are formats that are quickly becoming very commonplace and are absolutely relevant to a whole diversity of audiences. And what we see from our study here, focused on Hispanics, is that Hispanic audiences are already ready to over-index on everything that's experiential, from shoppable TV to some of the interactive content tactics that we looked at, AR, VR, and there is a market here. There is a general sense that Hispanic audiences are ready to accept this and to experience this. And I think that, from the distributors that we've had conversations with and some of the ones that attended my panel, I think that, we're seeing that it's a bit about continuing to educate marketers and agencies. But I think the tide is turning to quickly look at these innovative tactics as becoming more commonplace and more of what the future will be, particularly when you think about how attribution focused they are, understanding, exactly how your how a marketer's product was purchased and received, and understanding kind of the whole relationship from ad to attribution. There's a lot of opportunity here, and I think it's an exciting space. Simon, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
There was so much to get to, and your study really, I think, has a lot to say, and I wish we had more time, but we have to move on. Before we do, if you want to find out more about the Hispanic TV Summit from this organization that Daniel's part of, Altman Salon, here's where you go online, www.altmansalon.com. That's A-L-T-M-A-N salon.com. It's a fascinating study. Daniel, thank you very, very much for coming on. Like I said, we just scratched the surface of what your organization's unfolding, but I promise you, we will be checking in maybe with you hopefully soon to pick up the conversation, because it's a very important one but not only for Latinos, but for other communities of color. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Simon.
And take care. Have a great rest of the week. Daniel Weinbaum. I should say Weinbaum. Daniel Weinbaum from Altman Salon joining us live from New York. More tomorrow will be televised, but first the words from our wonderful sponsor, Wild. Are you asked to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Give Wild a try. You know, Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion, and it's terrific. I use it a lot. It's terrific. Goes on easy, and it comes in a variety of super scents and color combinations, such as jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about, and if you want a refill, that gets delivered right to your door in a wonderful case that you can keep using for refill after refill. So go Wild today with a special discount, 25% off your first order, when you use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. And enjoy. When we come back, the co-host and producer of Prackle's new series that launched earlier today, Just for Kicks, Don Benjamin. He'll join me live from Los Angeles. Plus, the answer to our latest classic trivia question. All that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you like a new musical experience, check out The Hypnotic Show, The Hypnotic Show. It's on tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. That's The Hypnotic Show. Tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best of BTR always comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of today's Tawabi Televised Hour. This half hour is brought to you by Cure, the instant treatment that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. Simon Appleton with you live from New Weather, York, 64 degrees at the bottom of the hour. It's the show about always TV's current and future. Another great guest coming away in the half hour ahead, plus the answer to our latest classic trivia question. And if you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, make that call. The number, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, already in the room. Earlier today, Crackle launched its latest lifestyle program. It's called Just for Kicks. You might say, as you don't know, Jack used to say, it's a program where sneaker culture and hip-hop collide. Joining us live from Los Angeles in Inner Radio Exclusive, the social media influencer who is the co-host and producer of the program, Don Benjamin. Don, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Any feedback so far on the launch of your show today?
Yeah, man, people are loving it, loving the energy, loving the concept, loving the guest. We had Allen Iverson on the first episode, and, you know, he's a legend in the game and in the shoe culture. So, yeah, man, it's super exciting.
How did you get involved with this series? It really is a very different kind of show because it's exposing people to both hip-hop, which is its 50th anniversary this year, but also sneaker culture.
Yeah, so the creator, Antoine Wade, actually came up with the concept. And he got my good friend Ryan Lamar involved, who brought me the concept. And I'm a sneaker collector. I don't call myself a sneakerhead because I have a ton of sneakers, but I don't know all of the ins and outs, and I don't wait in line overnight for shoes, but I do have hundreds of shoes, so I'm a sneaker collector. But when he brought me the concept, I was super excited to be involved with it. And yeah, like I follow NBA, I follow NFL, I follow sports, and I follow – of course, I'm a fashion model as well, so I love how the worlds intertwine.
What makes sneaker culture tick, particularly among, let's say, Gen Z, Gen Yers, who seem to be really super into this environment?
I think it's a mix of having something that is trending and also being able to get your hands on something that not everybody can have. I think that feeling of exclusiveness really kind of drives the sneaker culture right now.
So on every episode of this series, Just for Kicks, how do you try, along with your fellow co-hosts, as well as your fellow producers, to sort of try to blend the sneaker side of the culture environment with the hip-hop side of the culture environment and make sure that the audience at home, as well as, I understand you have a studio audience for the series, really gets the best of both cultures?
Yeah, so we actually have DJ Who Kid is our on-set DJ and one of the co-hosts alongside of us. But, I mean, DJ Who Kid has been a staple in the hip-hop culture for years. You know, he's been with 50 Cent and the list goes on. And so we have a live audience, a mix of DJ Who Kid, you know, bringing the hottest music to keep the vibe strong on set. And then we all kind of challenge each other each episode to wear our freshest shoes and outfits and see who's going to come out on top, and then even challenging the guests that show up to make sure they're wearing their freshest sneakers to set, man. But yeah, even some of the guests, like we had Bun B on, who is a legend in the hip-hop game, Rich the Kid, who is a young killer right now in the game. So yeah, man, blending the two worlds is definitely what we're doing with the show.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you play a number of different games and sort of challenges, like wilding out type of challenges involve the mm-hmm. sneakers that your guests wear. Are these like recurring features from episode to episode, or you just, let's say we do this with Allen Iverson or that challenge with Jordan Clarkson, who's one of the guards of the Utah Jazz, or John Sally, who not only was a wonderful NBA player but also has been a wonderful TV personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a couple games that carry on through all the episodes where called Style It with Don, where our guests have to team up with some of the other co-hosts, and they got to beat my team with styling a mannequin. And then we got a game where you have to spot the knockoff, and you have to see if it's a real, whether it be a real Jordan or a fake Jordan. And then we have some games that kind of switch out throughout the episodes to kind of switch things up. But, yeah, we have a couple that carry through every episode that people get to play.
We've got one of the hosts and producers of Just for Kicks, the new lifestyle series running today on Crackle. Don Benjamin is with us. By the way, Don was a decade ago, he was one of the contestants on America's Next Top Model, the long-running Tyra Banks hosted series. Don joins us live from Los Angeles. In a moment, we're going to talk to him about his trip here to New York for Advertising Week New York. I saw his panel. I'd like to hear what he has to say now he's had a chance to digest past Tuesday. And if you have a question or comment for Don, give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a wonderful 90-minute show coming your way tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, the start time. Did you know that Dude Perfect, you know, that five-member YouTube gang that loves to tackle all sorts of sports challenges, they now have their own television network, and it's running on smart TV sets and smart devices. Well, our first half hour, you're not only going to have the person that put this deal together, his name is Neil Gruninger. He runs a company called Atarant Media Co. You'll also hear from one of the members of Dude Perfect. Chad Coleman will be our guest, and that's all in our first half hour. And then, how are people liking Netflix and Max and Vix Plus and Paramount Plus and all the other mega content services out there? Well, WIT Media has been looking into it, and we'll find out from Senior Director Jerry Bainin what they found out. That's all coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, here on Smart Retail Wise Plus, in our regular feature, The Takeaway of the Week. I'll have some final thoughts about what transpired at Ad Week New York, which is winding down over the next few hours this afternoon. So, Don, you were here on behalf of Crackle and their Crackle Connect unit, along with other personalities, including Genevieve Gorder, who we had in the program a few months ago when she's doing her PetSmart sponsored series At Home with Genevieve. And you said something very interesting on that panel Tuesday afternoon. You said when the conversation was looking at, is it the culture shaping television or TV shapes the culture? And your answer was the former, the culture shapes TV. Mm-hmm. Why did you draw that conclusion?
You know, I feel like a lot of the things I see on TV are pretty much highlighting what the culture has created, and they're supplementing it into TV shows and movies. More so, it's very rare do I see something a trend that started on TV carry into everyday life. So, again, a lot of athletes, what they're wearing in the streets, or a lot of the rappers, what they're wearing in the shows, I feel like then translates over into TV shows and movies and so forth. So that's kind of like how I feel.
You know, I don't know if you saw the premiere on Friday night of Raid the Cage on CBS, 9 o'clock. Next episode is tomorrow night, 9, after Price is Right at 9. We had Jack Martin, the executive producer of the show, last Friday on the program, right before it premiered. And then watching the show, I noticed that one of the couples who was playing the game, they came out with Gucci sneakers. And Jeannie Mai, mm-hmm. who's the co-host, who guides them through the going through the cage for all the prizes, was like really looking at the sneakers and noticing the different aspects of the sneaker in terms mm-hmm. of what was on the sneaker. So it's another example of how the culture may be seeping in.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, even like even with Jeannie and them, I feel like they go out searching for what's the next new hot thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. How do you like doing this show, both as a host and also working behind the scenes?
Oh man, I love being able to not only be in front of the camera but be behind the scenes. I've always been pretty like business savvy and trying to challenge myself to learn new things, and so with producing, you know, shows, having to find finances and find talent and find different opportunities of growth, man, I really love doing both ends of the spectrum. So for me, it's cool that I got the opportunity to do that and bring that to this project.
When you were doing America's Next Top Model a decade ago, as a mm-hmm. contestant, did you take time to sort of study how the show was being produced, how Tyla Banks was doing her hosting, what was put together for the various segments? Did you know then that maybe I'd like to have down the road in some way have television as part of my career?
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is when I went on the show, I had already been in L.A. for about 7 years, so I kind of had been in the industry to a sense, like kind of understanding it. So when I went on the show, I was trying to build relationships with Tyra and the other producers on the show and seeing how things were behind scenes and behind camera and actually networking with them, telling them about other ideas and shows and movies that I actually was working, that I had, where I was trying to like get shows picked up or movies and getting some music placed on the shows instead of just being a contestant, getting some of my songs placed on episodes as well. So even as far back to Top Model, I was already kind of figuring out other ways to tackle it instead of just being a contestant on the show.
Mm-hmm. Now you've had a chance to digest, coming back to Los Angeles, what you experienced at Ad Week. What was what's your takeaway from Ad Week New York and being on that panel and talking to people before and after?
Oh man, it was crazy over there. Honestly, it was chaos, but it definitely, I love like the hustle in New York is just different than LA in general. Like the way people move and are trying to get things done, I feel like is so much more fast-paced and to the point in New York, and even Ad Week, just seeing the different panels and learning how people are maneuvering, starting businesses and trying to run these companies and keep up with, I feel like every day things are changing in the industry, and so it was interesting hearing how, like the Crackles and the other platforms are trying to keep up with the shifts and the changes, and even seeing, Mark Cuban talking about business and how to always stay on top of the next business trends and stuff like that. I was blessed to be a part of the panel and speak, but also just soaking up some game from fellow people on panels was definitely fun for me.
Yeah. Mark, they just referenced to, and all the Shark people from Shark Tanks were on a separate panel, which was one of the, in terms of crowd, one of the biggest. There were a lot of people who didn't get in to see that. You could see it from the mm-hmm. line. What do you think of that? Shark Tank had a big week here in New York because in addition to that, on the day or two before, they were saluted by the Paley Center for Media as part of Paley Fest. I know they had a great crowd there for that. What did you learn from the Sharks in terms of how it might apply to your future career?
Everything is, no matter what you're trying to do, like for me as an entertainer, like I try to study people like the Sharks in general because you have to approach everything from a business mindset. You can't just think of it as an entertainer, which is why, producing a show is so important and figuring out marketing strategies and, finding your core followers, core engagement. There's so many things that go beyond just having a project. And so, people like them who have been successful at growing billion-dollar businesses always have a couple of gems and jewels in anything they're speaking.
Along the way, going back to the panel on Tuesday, here's something else you said. You said that brands or advertisers need to lean in to trends, lean into their audiences in order to exist, not just to, not just to stay around another month or two or a year or two, but to exist, period. What did you mean by that?
Well, honestly, that's one thing I love about Crackle and our show Just for Kicks, because, you know, not only are we highlighting trends that are going on in the forefront and big trends in the fashion and sneaker world, but also highlighting new brands that are up and coming that may be getting some buzz, you know, in local cities and stuff like that. And I feel like it's important for these big companies or platforms to find trends in different ways. Like there are some big trends going on. You may have an Air Jordan that's trending, but there may be a new up and coming shoe that may be starting to catch some heat within the city that isn't being talked about as much. And you have to, as a company, challenge yourself to go and find those trends and ride that wave and then maybe set a new trend. And that's what we try to do, kind of mixing with Just for Kicks on Crackle, is find some new hot trendy things that people may not know about and talk about those on the show as well.
Crackle is the mega content service owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. And Just for Kicks, the series we're talking about, launched earlier today. We've got Don Benjamin. He's one of the co-hosts and producers of the program. He's live from Los Angeles. He was here in New York earlier this week for Ad Week New York. And if you would like to speak with him, give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we have a big 90-minute show coming your way next Monday, and we kick it off with one of the major players in the world of giving us terrific historical scripted series. His name is Michael Hirst. If you don't know the man, you certainly know his work. The Tudors and the Borgias on Showtime, Vikings on the History Channel, Vikings Valhalla on Netflix, and now the second season of Billy the Kid on MGM+. Michael Hirst, creator, executive producer, writer of Billy the Kid, he will join us live from England in an internet radio exclusive. That's just our first half hour. And then, well, here's another way that YouTube viewers can get involved with television, create their own content. It's called Savio TV, brand new plumbing service. We'll have the chief executive of that service, Aziz Ramnola. And finally, from the new Peacock program, John Carpenter's Suburban Screams, executive producer and director, Jordan Roberts. All coming your way Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And stay tuned. Coming up before we leave you at the top of the hour, we've got the answer to our current classic trivia question of the week, and we'll have a brand new question for you with prize and play on Monday's episode. Don, in terms of YouTubers, you're a social media influencer. We're now seeing more and more opportunities for YouTubers to create content directly for television. We had an organization called Viral Nation on our program is dealing with getting it was on our show October 13th, last Friday. Viral Nation is working with several YouTube people to make their content available for television on a regular original content. Are social media influencers like yourself looking at what they're doing, what other people are doing, like Savio TV, to maybe jump into the TV world?
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, man, a lot of influencers, quote unquote, whether YouTube or Instagram, we all kind of, for the most part, had these goals and visions of being on TV, like traditional TV, and we just figured out ways to kind of own our own lane and create content without having to be approved and greenlit by these traditional companies. And so that's why you see people go to YouTube and we have the platform to now create without having to be approved. And of course the goal is still, even though we're getting millions of views on YouTube and social media, the long-term goal is still to be on traditional platforms and be on TV shows or turn our series that may be on YouTube into long-form content on platforms. Because we still understand that the traditional media still runs the world, but we have the freedom now and financial freedom to where we make, you know, we're blessed to be able to make good money off doing our own stuff. And now hopefully we can translate and build with the right people that do believe in us, kind of like how we teamed up with Crackle, for example, you know. But, yeah, I feel like those opportunities are starting to come more and more nowadays.
If you get a second season of Just for Kicks, is there a dream guest you didn't have on in these episodes that you would like to have on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a list full of dream guests. We'd love to get Drake on an episode. I'd love to, you know, I mean, get LeBron James on an episode. Definitely want to get people, like, our goal is to interview people that we genuinely, organically love. Like, I'm genuinely a fan of Bun B, Allen Iverson, Jordan Clarkson. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of LeBron. I'm a huge fan of Drake. So it'd be really cool to sit with them and talk sneakers and fashion in their career.
Well, here's something you are going to get before we leave you, Don. That's a call. Hello, you're on Smart Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Our super fan. Go right ahead. You're with Don.
Hey, Don. I just looked at, like, the trailer for the show, and it's a really interesting-looking set. Like, it kind of looks like it's like a 3D virtual set, like you film on green screen, but in other ways it doesn't. Like, how do you guys do the show? Like, what, and especially like your sets and production?
Good question, man. Yeah, we did have, you know, the sofas and a lot of the furniture were just on a green screen. So everything that you see virtually is a green screen. So we had to act like we were in this new age world while we were filming.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because some of it, I was like, are they filming in a mall? Or, like, because it looked like it's two or three levels of, like, stuff going on. So, you know, pretty cool. Well, you know, wish you continued success. And, hey, and if you have any power at all to put British Knights back in. I had those, like, man, like 25 years ago, I thought they were the coolest sneakers. Then, like,
yeah.
Now, I don't even know if they make them anymore.
yeah, the British Knights were good ones. Yeah, we'll definitely have to bring those in on our episode.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Best
All right, take
on
care.
The show. Thanks,
Thank you.
Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Take care. Rick Webb, our super fan and British Knights lover from Philadelphia. And I remember British Knights because they were, remember the Nekulun game show Double Dare. They were featured a lot as, you know, going away prizes for all the contestants there. Anyway, Just for Kicks starts today on Crackle, the mega content service available from Chicken Soup and Soul Entertainment, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. For more details about the program and the service online, go to www.crackle.com. That's www.crackle.com. Don Benjamin, host and co-producer of Just for Kicks, thank you again for joining us. It was wonderful to see you in person here at Adweek New York on Tuesday, along with the rest of the Crackle crew. All the best to you and everybody for a great first season and hopefully a great long run.
Thank you, man. Good talking with you.
Same here, Don. Take care. Have a super rest of the week. Don Benjamin, the co-host and producer of Just for Kicks on Crackle, joining us live from Los Angeles. The answer to our current classic trivia question coming your way, and also a nice thought, a special shout-out about what took place last night in Midtown Manhattan, a very special event. That's coming your way, but first, some words from the wonderful people at Cure. Do you ever wonder what makes you fatigued or tired at times? Try dehydration. It's the leading cause of headaches, brain fog, and muscle weakness. Luckily, there is a way to bounce back, and that way is Cure. C-U-R-E. It's a clean, tasty, effective way to stay hydrated and operate at your best. Cure's instant drink packets mixed with water contains a balance of electrolytes and glucose, while free of artificial flavors, sweeteners, and preservatives. Cure is all natural and perfect to deploy on the go at work or at home. Try Cure today and feel the difference for yourself. Use the promo code TELEVISED for 20% off your order. That's promo code TELEVISED, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D. For more details, go to curehydration.com. And now it's time for the answer to our classic trivia question that we've offered over the last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, nobody came up with the answer, so our four prizes are going to stay in play, and we're going to add a fifth when we add our new classic trivia question and bring it to you on Monday's episode. The question, and we are saying sayonara to, is this. Name the 1950s dog star of the 1950s TV series Topper. You know, one about the ghosts and George and Marion Kirby, played by Ann Jeffries, her husband at the time, Robert Sterling, mixing it up with the Very Human and Very Real, Cosmo Topper, played by Leo G. Carroll. Show ran 2 seasons on CBS, and the dog star was Neil, N-E-I-L, Neil, N-E-I-L. That's the dog star who played in Topper on 2 seasons on CBS. So that's the answer to your classic trivia question. Nobody got it. So we'll have a brand new question for you on Monday, and we'll have 5 prizes in play. So when you hear the question, make sure you email me with the correct answer. If they're first with the answer, you win. You can email me at simonapple04 at yahoo.com, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and where you're emailing from. If we don't get a winner by the end of Monday, we'll post the question the following morning on Facebook at X or Twitter, Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. Do so. Be our next winner starting Monday. And all the very best. Before we leave you today, one final shout-out. One of the great things about doing this program and about covering the world of television is that you get the opportunity to witness some wonderful moments. Last night, over at Hudson Yards at the fantastic Peak Restaurant, floor 101 of that building, we had such a moment. It was part of Hallmark Media's big kickoff to their Countdown to Christmas holiday movie season. And that was a wonderful mini-concert by the Grammy Award winner herself, Nora Jones. She was in sensational form, herself, her voice, solo piano, doing a wonderful set that started with her great song, Come Away With Me, then a brand-new song she wrote for some of the Hallmark movies that will be presented over the holiday season called Calling Christmas, then her other big tune, Don't Know Why, and finally, a wonderful rendition of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the great Christmas song, classic from the film, Meet Me in St. Louis, which you can catch regularly on Turner Classic Movies, TCM. She was in sensational form. She really gave us a lot of magic last night. So thank you, Hallmark Media. You make that moment really shine. Again, thanks to our guests for being with us today, all of you for tuning in. Remember, we're with you with a 90-day edition tomorrow, and our guests will be Apparent Media Company President Neil Gruniger, the person putting the new Dude Perfect channel together on smart TV sets and devices, and we'll be joined for that half hour by Dude Perfect member Chad Coleman. Plus, Denny Benham from Wit Media, who's been looking at the state of mega content services. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check us out on podcast on over 40 different destinations, including Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, and many more. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our episode today, and what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going for communities of color and the general public? Email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. You can check out me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, X, or Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, X, or Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. However you respond with me, I respond back to you in 24 hours because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other services programs. Andy Toews, B-Charge General Manager, Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website certified by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitar Spakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Week Televised is brought today by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. And by Wild, reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Remember, if you want to make a contribution to an organization involved with the Israeli relief, with the situation there, one of them is the United Jewish Appeal and the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, New York. Go to their website to find out more. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Back tomorrow, BP Meets New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to me now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and please pray for the state of Israel. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.